From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Afternoon Edition.
In the face of heartbreak, we come together. We embrace one another, and we come back stronger.
And right now in the Afternoon Edition, an emotional Maryland governor addressing the public in the wake of a catastrophic bridge collapse that happened in Baltimore. That collapse sent people and several cars into the dangerously cold water. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. A massive search now underway right now for six people who are still missing after that container ship lost power and rammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Take a look at this. The ship struck one of the bridge's supports, causing the structure to collapse just like a toy. It tumbled into the river in the matter of seconds, and the crash happened overnight, long before the busy morning commute. But there were still people on that bridge when this happened. The six people who were unaccounted for are believed to be part of a construction crew that were repairing potholes on the bridge. Two people have been rescued from the river. One was not injured, and the other was taken to a local trauma center in very serious condition. Maryland's Governor Wes Moore says the ship's crew issued a Mayday call moments before the crash. That allowed authorities to limit vehicle traffic on the span. Here's a live look right now at the Francis Scott Key Bridge. You can see the container strip is still out there. As authorities investigate what exactly went wrong, the NTSB is also at the scene. Ryan Hughes is following the latest developments from Baltimore County.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore said the entire state is in shock. Right now, dive teams, they remain in the river, actively searching for survivors. And behind me, you can see that horrifying scene, the bridge and the road completely broken apart.
Video shows the moment a cargo ship plowed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. CBS News has confirmed the massive container ship lost propulsion before impact.
The entire bridge, the entire Key Bridge in the harbor.
We know there were individuals on the bridge at the time of the collapse working on the bridge.
Now the Coast Guard and other agencies are racing to find possible survivors. In addition to workers on the bridge, video shows multiple vehicles on the span.
And our response teams are doing everything in our power to rescue and recover the victims of this collapse literally as we speak.
The 974-foot cargo ship called the Dolly left Baltimore Harbor about 20 minutes before the crash. At one point, crew members on board notified state officials that the ship had lost propulsion and that hitting the bridge was possible.
As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was struck, which undoubtedly saved lives.
Video shows most of the lights on the ship going out just before the accident.
The steering system on a ship like this is hydraulically powered. And so when you lose electrical power, you're going to lose the hydraulics. Of course, the rudder is hydraulically powered.
Officials say the workers on the bridge were repairing potholes. A facility has been set up with mental health professionals for family members to deal with this tragedy.
The FBI says right now this crash appears to be an accident and there is no signs of a terrorist attack. Right now, those dive teams in the water searching for survivors are using drones, sonar, radar, and other technology, hoping to find several people. In Baltimore County, Ryan Hughes, back to you.
And the Key Bridge in Baltimore serves about 31,000 travelers every day here in the Bay Area. Our busiest bridge, of course, is the Bay Bridge, with nearly 115,000 cars every day. 42,000 drivers travel the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge is the closest comparison to the Key Bridge, serving about 36,000 cars every day. And you may wonder, could it happen here? Well, back in 2013, an empty oil tanker caused minor damage when it struck the base of the Bay Bridge, the old Bay Bridge. It ran the tower while heading out to sea after unloading crude oil at the Martinez refinery. Also back in 2007, another container ship had a run-in with the Bay Bridge, spilling 52,000 gallons of fuel. Crews spent months cleaning up that damage, and the ship's pilot and two shipping companies responsible for that oil spill paid $44.4 million in a settlement. And we'll continue to update you on this story on air and through our website at kpix.com and the CBS News app. Okay, turning to weather right now, here's a live look outside downtown San Jose. A cloudy Tuesday. We're tracking some of the rain on the way. Meteorologist Paul Diano is in for Jessica with a look at the forecast.
Temperatures today are quite pleasant. We're looking at numbers in the mid to upper 60s. You got down to 37 degrees this morning in Petaluma. You'll make it up to 66 this afternoon. Lower 60s for San Francisco and Pacifica, 64 in Oakland, Concord, Walnut Creek, about 67 degrees, Redwood City, 65. Fremont, Livermore, also in the mid-60s. And you may be not as sunny in the South Bay today, but you'll be one of our warmer spots. San Jose at 67 and Los Gatos at 66 degrees. So it is going to be a pleasant day out there this afternoon. Last time we could say that for a while, unless you love rain, some of you do. We're looking at areas of fog and drizzle wrapping up late morning, early afternoon, if not sooner. Increasing sunshine throughout the afternoon. Storm number one, the first one that we get, is going to be weaker. Storm number two is going to be stronger. The first storm will give us 6 to 12 inches of snowfall, if not more, in the Sierra, where a new winter storm warning is in effect. And these are the rain chances, not just for tomorrow. It's Wednesday. It's Thursday. It's Friday. It's Saturday. It's a prolonged rain event that's going to last several days. We'll talk more about which day looks to be the wettest. That's coming up in a few minutes.
All right, thanks, Paul. Well, the Supreme Court is hearing arguments today in an abortion case that could impact women all across the country.
To occur in 2% of all pregnancies.
Demonstrators on both sides of this issue gathered outside the Supreme Court this morning as the justices heard arguments whether the FDA adequately considered safety when it expanded access to the so-called abortion pill, mifepristone. Used with another drug, mifepristone is the most common type of abortion nationwide. In 2016, the FDA extended the window women can take the pill from 7 to 10 weeks. And during the pandemic, it said an in-person doctor's visit was not needed, allowing mail-order pharmacies to ship the drug nationwide. Critics argue those changes compromise women's health.
In 2021, it eliminated the initial in-person visit based on data it says elsewhere is unreliable.
Today represents a monumental moment where it will be decided just how far we are willing to go as a society to have abortion on demand at any cost.
And the government argues mifepristone is safe and the case is a blatant effort to further restrict abortion. The court is expected to make a decision by early July.